Right now, I don't know what television station we have it on, but they're showing the replay of the U.S.-Canada women's soccer matchup from earlier this morning. We will break into all programming throughout the day to announce every goal scored by the United States of America in this game.
Okay, which was zero.
Yeah. Maybe you could focus on the field.
Yes.
That's that, though. We can't say thank you enough. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. I don't know if he cares if I suck up, but he's one of my favorite guests to be able to break down the complex of CBA contracts and into something that's a little more understandable, who has about 95 million radio stations who want to talk to him, and ESPN has all of these jobs for him to do as free agency really gets rolling at 3 o'clock our time today, and yet he still said, sure, I'll come on Doug and Wolf on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. So, Bobby, thank you very much. Do we owe you just a beer? Do we owe you dinner? How's life? You doing all right?
I feel like I'm a regular in Phoenix. So I owe you guys to come on. If you had asked me that, like 5:30 to come on, I would probably say no. But you kind of hit me at the sweet spot at 10:30 Eastern time right now.
Oh, good. Well, thanks again for saying yes. When I say Chris Paul has opted out of a one-year, $44 million deal with the Suns, what do you say that means for the Suns?
Don't be concerned. That's what it says for the Suns. I think you'll see him probably come to some type of agreement whenever the 6 p.m. time comes, and for 3 years, potentially 4 years. I don't know if all that money will be guaranteed, but I think the number will go down from 44 to a little bit lower. And I think it was more of a business decision for Chris to opt out of that and see if he can get some length onto his salary. This will probably be his last big payday here. So, and he's taken full advantage of the situation as far as with getting his team to the finals this past year.
Bobby, how concerned would you be signing him to a multi-year contract?
Yeah, I mean, we're probably going to have this conversation in 2 years, and you're going to be saying, like, Bobby, like, what do you think about this Chris Paul contract? I'm saying, man, it's terrible. But right now, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, just it is what it is. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. I mean, the good thing is, like, you know, I know he was nicked up during the playoffs and stuff. He has been relatively healthy, certainly last year in Oklahoma City, and then this year in Phoenix. Doesn't miss many regular season games and takes great care of his body there. And when you have the core around him, it's not like you're asking him to do a ton of the heavy lifting from a point standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, there's always concerns as far as the back end of these, you know, these big extensions, especially for a guy who's 36. I mean, the interesting thing with Chris, I was digging around, is that he'll become only the third player since 1999 to sign a contract for more than $25 million over the age of 35. It's, you know, I mean, him and LeBron and Dirk back in Dallas, so he'll join elite company there.
Talking to Bobby Marks, you had to make decisions just like this with the Nets. So I'd love for you to open up about the emotions or the difficulties or the conversations that you're guessing has happened in Phoenix, even if someone's just playing devil's advocate, because it's easy to sit here and say, look at the alternative. Maybe the Suns are fighting to avoid the play-in tournament without him. And so you got to sign him. But what are you looking at in the year 2025 with a 39-year-old guy that you might be paying $30 million a year to, and you're sitting there swearing up and down behind closed doors, why did we do it? What is really happening with these types of conversations to get Chris Paul back?
I think if you're, you know, certainly with James Jones and Robert Sarver, I think James is going to lay out everything as far as, you know, when we do these type of things, we don't really look at it in a one-year vacuum. We're always looking at it 3 to 4 years from a projection standpoint. And, you know, it's well known, you know, certainly with Chris and then with the Bridges and Ayton possible extensions, the money, you know, the money starts to add up here. And then, you know, you still have Devin, Crowder still on the books. We'll see what happens with campaign. I mean, the majority of teams that go to an NBA finals and win an NBA finals are at the luxury tax or in the luxury tax. I mean, it's just kind of like Toronto is a little bit of an outlier from a couple of years ago, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast, because eventually you got to pay your younger players and then it just adds up here. So yeah, I mean, it's going to, you know, there's not going to be any kind of hidden doors here. They'll know fully, you know, that this is what the cost is going to be. I think the one benefit is that eventually the finances are going to get in order with the league as far as from COVID, and, you know, we get revenue back here, and then the cap starts to increase. And then I think in a couple of years we get this new TV deal. So we'll get another infusion of money coming in here that, you know, the cap won't stay flat or increase 3%, that there'll be probably a big jump, probably maybe in that third, when Chris is in that third year.
You know, Bobby, it's so weird because I've been around professional sports, the NFL, for decades, and I don't think I have ever seen a young player get better in the postseason the way DeAndre Ayton got better in the postseason right there. What are your thoughts on DA and the direction of DeAndre Ayton and where he's headed?
Yeah, he's fascinating because you're right. He was tremendous in the playoffs. And I know, you know, people will probably pick apart the, I guess, game six or maybe some of the games in the Milwaukee series. I just think the matchup was probably not, you know, not to his best. But, you know, the Denver series, the, you know, Clipper series, certainly the Lakers series here, that he was one of your better players out there. And now I always say the extensions are rookie extensions are hardest thing to negotiate because you're not negotiating against anybody, right? Like you're just negotiating against the clock, which is October 18th here. And if you feel like he is a surefire max player like Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum and what Luka is going to get and Trey Young is going to get, that's what you're talking about internally as far as from a Suns standpoint, paying a guy 28, you know, centers in this market. You know, there's not many of them making $28, $29 million. So I think it might look like an overpay in the beginning, but it's similar to what I just talked to you about as far as the cap's going to go up. There's going to be money pumping in. And then we get year three of the eight in extension to be like, you know what, it's a really good contract here. So he's a priority. Certainly Chris will be priority one. I think him and Mikhail are priority you know, 2 and 2AB. And I just don't think you can afford to let it play out and then let him go into restricted free agency, because instead of getting him on a 5-year contract, you might have a team throw an offer sheet at 3 years with a player option for that third year, like we saw with Gordon Hayward a few years back, and then he becomes a free agent again. And if you have to commit to 5 years, I think that's something that, you know, that you're going to have to think about.
How much, and this isn't really a conversation piece about Robert Sarver, but you're the one that's dealt with owners, so we'll ask you, how much does owner ego come into this? 10 years of futility in this franchise, the city turning on Robert Sarver, can't stand him, still not forgiving him for not paying Joe Johnson way back when, and yet now he gets this taste. You're 2 wins away from the finals, and you can pay exorbitant amount of taxes to keep the team together. Do you think most owners look at this after a decade and say, man, I've got to stay in this golden light with the fans that I'm in right now? Would you as a GM play on that to try to get him to spend the money that he has already said he's not afraid to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's well aware of what was and what you know was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago and what was a month ago. You know, when you've got 18,000-19,000 fans and you're playing in the NBA Finals, and there is a cost associated with it, but you've got a new naming rights deal. I'm sure probably tickets will go up a little bit here. The revenue is going to start to come in and offset, you know, some of these costs here. And I think the one thing you just don't want to do is you know just kind of cut corners a little bit, because, you know, Booker's got 3 years left on his contract, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's I always say that it doesn't matter what guys have left under contract. Any player in this league can wake up one morning and look at what ownership is doing or the front office is doing, say, you know what, I don't know if I want to be part of that because they didn't bring back Chris Paul or they didn't bring back DeAndre Ayton or Mikal Bridges here. So I think he realizes, you know, just from this playoff experience, that bringing this group back, you could be in the same situation a year from now, and you could have, I always call it just sustainable success when it pertains to the roster.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bobby, your percentage on Chris Paul signing a multi-year contract with the Phoenix Suns, what percentage is that?
Well, I never say 100 because you never know what happens.
Right.
But I'll put
that's
it at like 99.9.
Oh,
how's that sound? I'll just
well, that is good right there,
one.
Bobby.
Oh, that makes you feel great.
Buddy.
You know, I think a lot of, I know you know this, Bobby, but I think a lot of listeners know this too. We are an ESPN radio affiliate. ESPN doesn't own us, but we're an affiliate. And so Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin come on before the Doug and Wolf show. And this morning, Brian Windhorst explained something really interesting.
Yep.
That in his opinion, the contract for Kawhi Kawhi Leonard is better for both team and him to opt into, because then you get the $10 million injury exception and some of the other things that are above my pay grade to know, and yet he opted out anyway. So this really affects the Suns' balance of power in the West. I ask you, with the new news, do you think Kawhi Leonard remains as a Clipper?
I do, but I think he made a major mistake. I've written about it. I wrote about it in their offseason article. I said it yesterday that if the goal was for Kawhi Leonard to sign and have long-term financial security, the smart play would have been for him to opt into his contract and then sign a four-year, $180 million extension. And that would have allowed the Clippers to get this injury exception. What happens now is now he's a free agent. And, you know, the likelihood is that he'll do one of these one-plus-one deals, have a player option, become a free agent again next year. And then hopefully, you know, the Clippers can sign him to a long-term deal. They don't get this injury exception now. So I think it's a $50 million mistake. That's how I look at it here. And for a guy with his injury history, it's the knee, the back, I guess, in San Antonio. There have been multiple things here. So that would have been, if I was advising Kawhi, that would have been the decision that he should have taken. He didn't. And now we'll see how this plays out.
Did you say 50 million?
I said 50. I know.
No, ain't nothing but 50 million, Bobby. Oh, my goodness.
Same question, different player. Although I shouldn't say same question because the contract is so different. Damian Lillard is supposedly entering into his massive extension, and yet it doesn't seem to be all that friendly after Stotts is fired and they don't play defense anymore. And do you see any chance Damian Lillard doesn't even get paid on this new extension with Portland and goes somewhere else?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with Lillard, during the Olympics are going on, so when he comes back, he's going to look at what this roster looks like. I mean, that's been his big thing, is what he said. I think, you know, Norm Powell is their big free agent decision here, and is there a trade out there that probably would have to cost them CJ McCollum? So Lillard enters year one of this $180 million Supermax, got 4 years left, and, you know, he's made it known that what this roster that lost to Denver in is not good enough. And I'm intrigued as far as if they can turn some players over here. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, it really is, unless it's going to be McCollum going out and, you know, maybe multiple players coming back in.
I mean, we always appreciate absolutely your expertise, man. Thank you so much for joining us, bud.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks for the 99.9, too. That felt good.